Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Who has the measure of faith? Yeah, the believer has the measure of faith. Now, I mentioned this already, but think about this. In fact, let's go back over there to 1 John. There's something that, and this is one of the areas that we're going to learn about faith in. But I wanted you to see this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wanted you to see those words. He is faithful and just. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle or the one God sent and high priest of our profession or confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his own house. So, we absolutely must, as faith people, we never get anywhere with faith. You never get anywhere in receiving from God unless you trust Him with all your being. Hallelujah. Amen. He's faithful. And He's just. Do you hear me? He's faithful and He's just. Now, we said that faith, the faith of God, can't read this enough times. Go over there at Mark 11 once again, and let's feed our faith on this again. I want you to notice the command element of these words from Jesus. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Anything Jesus says is a command to a believer. He is Lord, Advocate, General of the church, and we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. If He says, fear not, I'm telling you that's just as big a command as thou shalt not murder. That's right. If He says, don't worry, then worry is a sin. Well, don't start whining around with me on this. I'm jumping way out ahead of myself here, but I'm going to have to touch on this. When you come to the place where you are unwilling under any circumstance to compromise His word, then you're in a place where faith will work for you. But as long as you're, well, I don't believe God wanted me to do that. Well, why not? Well, I mean, I don't believe God would require me to just give everything I have. What's so special about you? He gave everything He had to you. Amen. withholding. It's all fear-based. Withholding for yourself comes under the heading when Jesus said, if you try to protect your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, turn loose of it, you'll find it. So what is he talking about? Well, you know, that faith life looks awfully good over there. Those folks are really doing fine. Yeah, I'd like to get in on that. But I might lose. But you're already defeated. What you compromise to keep, you will lose. That's the whole, that's the way the spiritual world functions and operates. So the first thing that we come to is he says, have faith in God. Yes, sir. But he never has faith in God unless he's already provided the faith of God for you to have. You see, he's faithful and he's just. You remember when the spies went out and spied the land and came back with 10 of them with an evil report, and Caleb and Joshua said, no, let's go take it now. And they said, ooh, we can't do that. Now, wait a minute. God said they could.
Yes, sir.
He said, I've given this to you.
That's right.
Yeah, but you don't know what. You think God didn't know there was giants over there? You think he thought, man, I wish I'd have known them big people are over there. This goes back to one of the things that that we talked about on yesterday's broadcast. He's already answered it.
That's right.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
The answer's already there.
That's right.
And it's already in you.
That's right.
Because you're connected to him.
That's right.
So it's not like ain't nothing happened yet. But that's the way our thought patterns were brought up in this fear-based world. Turn to the book of Joshua. You got to get this. You'll never be worth a plug nickel in faith till you get this. Amen. Joshua. And let's look at chapter 2. Now, Joshua sent the two guys out. He made sure he had two faith guys. He didn't mess with 12. He just started out with two and already knew they had faith. So now, they hid out in Rahab's place. Remember that? Verse 8. Before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, how'd she find that out? And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan. Soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man. This is an absolute truth for all men for all time. When God tells you to do something, he has already, he has already done everything it takes for you to be successful at it. He's not waiting for you to agree before he does something. That's the way it looks to us, but that's not the way he thinks. Now, Brother Jim, see if this fits your spirit. This is one of the most exciting things that I've ever heard God say. And it's just, that first generation, do you notice she said, we heard what happened at the Red Sea and our hearts melted. They would have surrendered to Israel's puppies. Yeah. They were ready to give up. All they had to do is go across the river. They could have taken that thing without firing a shot. But by waiting an entire generation, then they had to fight their way in there. If the first group had gone on the first load, they'd have just given up. I mean, there might have been some skirmishes, but there wouldn't have been anything to it. They would have surrendered right on the spot, because that's what Rahab's talking about. But by waiting a generation, it gave the devil time to get his act together. Didn't do him any good. It was just a harder fight. So this is the bottom line. And this is where faith comes in, because you know good and well God's going to tell you something to do.
That's right.
But he's not going to explain it to you until after you agree to do it. It wouldn't be faith. You'd be walking by sight instead of faith. And you'd be over him. You can't possibly get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. You can't do it. He said, unless I see it and feel it, I'm not going to believe it. Notice what he said. I will not believe. So it's an act of his will. Well, I can tell you this. Faith in God is an act of the will.
That's right. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. What happened there? Help me make this clear. When God tells you, do this, give that, say this, go there, yes, sir. When he told you, that in itself qualified you to do it. When he told them to cross that Red Sea, that qualified them to do it. Giants, no giants, I don't care what was over there, because he had already moved over the other side of the river. But not only that, he's moving by his power. Amen. In and among them.
Amen.
But when you agreed and said, sir, yes, sir, that's when he empowers you to do it, because you have faith connected with him.
Right. Come on, sir.
And that's what faith does. Faith is it's the spiritual force, the spiritual creative force of God that's inside your born again spirit. This is an inner man issue, not a mental issue or a physical issue. Faith is a powerful, spiritual, unseen force. Most of the time, unfelt or detected by the flesh. Sometimes in its most powerful state, it is least detected by the flesh, because it's working in the realm of the spirit, and the realm of the spirit is far greater than this natural physical world or the intellectual world. Unless the mind is renewed to the Word, it has no concept of faith.
Amen.
Amen. And as we already found out, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Is this doing you some good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look in the 8th verse. All right, let's read down in that. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath God, he's talking about God, but God who is rich in mercy, the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Say it. By grace, I was saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now get this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, Romans 4:16, it is by faith, so that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise is sure to all the seed. Now we're down to a place where we can make a firm, scripture-backed, absolute statement. We were saved by grace through faith. It is by faith so that it might be by grace. No faith, no grace. See? Now, faith worketh by love. Doesn't the scripture say that?
Yes, it does.
So no love, no faith.
Amen.
No faith, no grace.
Yeah.
No grace, no salvation.
Yes,
but now back up a minute. Stop saying. Back it up just a little bit. Is there any difference between the new birth that you got and the new birth that I received? Of course not. However, it'd be good to prove that, wouldn't it? Do you remember when Peter went down to Cornelius' house? They didn't know a Jew. They didn't know anybody but a person born of Jewish parents could even get saved. But God sent Peter to a Gentile's house. Amen. And what did Peter say? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
All right. Now that we've, well, turn over there to 1 Peter. You're going to be so loaded up on this, ain't no way in the world you're going to be, well, maybe I don't have any faith. Hey, come on. No, you ain't going there ever again forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now then, 1 Peter, and look at chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen.
Amen.
Being born again by the word of God. The word is the seed. Well, if that wasn't good enough for you, look at 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there's no way that God gave you a whole bucket full of faith and gave me a teaspoonful.
Right.
No. No, hey, we've got the same faith that Peter was operating in. We've got the same faith that Peter and John used at the beautiful gate and took that man by the hand and, oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, but Brother Copeland, that was in the early church. Well, let me tell you something, darling. This is in the church of the end time. So I want to ask you something. What happened to all them folks in the middle? All of them had exactly the same faith because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. No, I said, thank you, Lord. No, I said, thank you, Lord. Somebody just got healed of cancer in the spine. Right now, it's yours. Take it, and I want to hear from you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.